Radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
Everybody, listen carefully.
This guy gets it.
Radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
I'm Matt Duchesne of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Roman Yossi of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Yusis Aros of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Robert Grimaldi of the Nashville Predators.
And you're listening to the Renegades of Puck.
Broadcasting live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios. And against all better judgment, this is Predneck Nation Radio.
Everybody loves the soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
The Renegades of Puck are ready to take you on an all skate around the NHL with all the news, highlights, scores, and more.
This is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predators,
and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie.
Welcome to Smashville.
It's time for another episode of Predneck Nation Radio. That's right, all Renegades of Puck to the Trenches. I am your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier, and it is a Predneck takeover of Nashville Sports Radio to start your Friday morning. With the Nashville Predators getting everything started and the puck drop last night, no better opportunity than jumping the trenches first thing this morning before the sun even comes up and tell you about everything that happened last night between the Nashville Predators and the Columbus Blue Jackets, and to also preview everything that's going to happen between the Nashville Predators and the Columbus Blue Jackets. That's right, they just played Columbus and they're going to play Columbus. That's the way this season is going to go. 56 games this season, two game series. The first one against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Now, we'll get in the habit and the practice of doing these things. Some of these numbers might seem a little bit ridiculous because we're only one game into the season, but we're going to get in the habit of doing it and the numbers will start to fill in, they'll start to grow, and they'll start to make more sense as we go along. Again, it's Predneck Nation Radio. Welcome in Nashville Sports Radio. You can always listen to us completely for free on the WNSR app and WNSR.com, streaming for free. Also, over the air, in the traditional, in the classic, in the best way possible, 560 AM and 95.9 FM in Middle Tennessee. And 95.9 FM is your strong signal as you're headed down I-24 through Smyrna into the borough and beyond. 103.9 in Drakesboro, Kentucky, simulcasting us all the way down into Clarksville and beyond and into the Bowling Green area. We do appreciate them as well. And all of you out there listening, so many different ways to listen to Predneck Nation Radio and to catch the Renegades of Puck and to jump in the trenches with each and every one of us on a game day. Remember, 5 a.m. starts is not a punishment. It is not a penalty. It is a chosen path. We love to be up breaking it down before the sun even comes up. We love to give everybody in the town more options to listen to Nashville Predators coverage. Not everybody has to do a show at 6 p.m. Central Time on a Wednesday night. We can get out there and do a little bit more. Also, Renegades of Puck in the trenches this morning. Mastrodamus, of course, second period. He'll be breaking down goaltenders from last night and also giving us a look in the box score and the individual efforts. Sean Smith will be back in the trench with us again this morning. Outstanding wealth of knowledge and information. We'll follow up on all the things he previewed yesterday, and we'll see how those things work out. Of course, Brian Baston will do better on time management and shifts this morning. We'll make sure we get to that one big stat. That was my fault yesterday. That was simply coaching malpractice. My job is to host, to distribute, and to get to everybody. And as much as I have to say about it, I got to make sure that I get all the Renegades of Puck. And oh, by the way, Alti has a few things to say before the end of the segment as well. So we've gotten everything established. Oh, if you would like to follow along the show on Twitter at Renegades of Puck, that's the easiest way to get in touch with us. We keep you updated on all things going on here with the show. Your Nashville Predators start the day in third place in the Central Division with a record of 1-0 after one game's play. They have 2 points, and they are actually tied with Tampa Bay and Carolina for first place in the Central Division. On home ice, the Nashville Predators have a record of 1-0. They have 3 goals for on the season and 1 goal against, and they will be facing off against the Columbus Blue Jackets for the 2nd of 8 times this season. Columbus currently sits 6th place in the Central Division with a record of 0-1 after just 1 game. Of course, they are 0-1 on the road. They've scored 1 goal and given up 3 against. For the Nashville Predators, after tonight's game, wrapping up the first 2-game set against the Columbus Blue Jackets, Monday versus the Carolina Hurricanes, Tuesday versus the Carolina Hurricanes. You know the Canes are going to be one of the top teams in the Central Division, so the Nashville Predators are going to look to make a big effort early in the season against the Carolina Hurricanes. Friday and Sunday at Dallas, and then the 26th and the 27th of January versus the Chicago Blackhawks. The division schedule is very light, and it's going to be, as we're looking at essentially 4 independent minor leagues, or mini leagues is what I should call it. It would be better. Group stage, whatever you want to refer to it as. Friday, we have Chicago at Tampa Bay, and Saturday, we have Carolina at Detroit. Dallas still to make their on-ice debut because of the issues that they have been dealing with. Between the Nashville Predators and the Columbus Blue Jackets, after this 2-game set closes up, 6 more meetings. After all, in case you don't know, you'll be playing each team within your division 8 times this season. So after wrapping up to the 2nd game, the 18th and the 20th at Columbus, and then the 27th and the 28th of February versus Columbus, and then not until May the 5th and May the 3rd at Columbus to close out the season series. So the Nashville Predators, between the start of the season and February the 28th, which is just about 6 weeks, they will play the Columbus Blue Jackets a total of 6 times. When we look at the special teams for the Nashville Predators, still such a small sample size, there are no ranks, but the power play is 0-for-3 on the season. The penalty kill is 2-for-2. Goals 4 on the year, 3. Goals against 1. Again, no ranks at this point. Sample size, just simply 2. Limited shots, 4, 35, and shots against 30 average, because they only have 1 game. On the injury report listed, Mikael Granlund, because he is still dealing with travel issues, and he is also dealing with quarantine once he is wrapped up those travel issues. For the Columbus Blue Jackets, of course, their last game was against the Nashville Predators just last night, a 3-1 loss. It was Corposalo with 32 saves in the game. Jenner with the only goal for the Columbus Blue Jackets. After wrapping up this 2-game set with the Nashville Predators, they will head off Monday to start a 2-game series at Detroit. Special teams for the Columbus Blue Jackets, 0-for-2 on the power play. They were 3-for-3 on the penalty kill against the Preds in the first game of the season. Miku Koivu listed on the injury report as being out. We go back and we look at game one, and it feels really weird for it to be the 14th of January of the year 2021 and to be talking about the first game of the season. But it was, in fact, opening night in Smashville against a former Nashville Predators rival that is now back in the Central Division for this year, the Columbus Blue Jackets. First game of the season, opening night in Smashville, and here are your lines. Forsberg, Johansson, and Arvidsson. We weren't sure if Arvidsson was going to go in game one, but he was ready. He was out there, and he looked just fine. Holla, Duchesne, and Kunin on your second line. Cousins, Sissons, and Grimaldi. Smith, Richardson, and Yarncroke. And that is not the Smith you're familiar with. This is Cole Smith making his NHL debut. On defense, Josi and Ellis, Ekholm, and Fabro, and Burevetsky, and Benning. Juuse Saros gets the first start of the season. It is the first time in quite a long time that it has not been Pekka in net to start the first game of the season. Juuse Saros gets an early opportunity, just 19 seconds into the game. He has to come up with a save on former Nashville Predator Seth Jones in close range on the wraparound. Seth Jones, absolutely an incredible offensive threat at any time, especially once he gets in close to the net. And he had a good opportunity just 19 seconds into the season. Juuse Saros up to the task at the post. At 1:19 of the first period, Dante Fabro hits the post from the high slot. Had a good look at it, plenty of time and space, just unable to convert. At the 5:33 mark of the first period, Philip Forsberg's off to the box, 2 minutes for tripping the Nashville Predators' first minor penalty of the season. UC Soros has to come up with a huge save on Bjorkstrand from the right circle off of a cross ice feed. Really nice setup on this one. He had a good look at it. If he could have got the shot off a little bit quicker, probably would have been able to convert. But UC Soros with that edge work, always, always going to be solid getting across. One shot on net. We just talked about that shot. Excellent penalty kill overall. Benning, Halla, Yarncroak, and yes, Burevetsky doing the work out there. We heard a lot in the limited training camp. We've heard a lot from head coach John Hines about how he wants to operate the special teams and the penalty kill and how important these new players are going to be to that. Well, right there, I just mentioned three new rostered players doing a great job on the first penalty kill of the season. 9:24 of the first period. Boom Jenner's got his first goal of the season, giving the Columbus Blue Jackets a 1-0 lead. Dante Fabbro is at center ice, standing still as a loose puck is coming right towards him. One bad bounce, a misplay, the puck is over him, and Boom Jenner is on a break when he beats UC Soros high on the blocker's side. For Dante Fabbro, you can never stop moving out there on the ice. He got caught standing still. That's it. One bad bounce, and it goes the other way. I don't fault UC Soros on this one. Tough bounce by Fabbro, but he could have played this one much better. Columbus with a 1-0 lead midway through the first period. At 10:05 of the first period, Bjorkstrand's going to the box 2 minutes for tripping. Korpisalo has to come up with a save on Johansson on the doorstep off of a Victor Arvidsson feed. As soon as the power play started, this line went to work. Then we had a save on Arvidsson from the low circle off of a feed from Duchesne. He did not get all of it, or else I do believe Victor Arvidsson would have scored, but still, a great setup, a good scoring chance, and Korpisalo was forced to make a save. Arvidsson gets numerous jam and stuff attempts from the top of the crease a little bit later in the power play. The Preds would get credited with four total shots on goal, but they had good movement, strong possession, and were very good around the crease and getting pucks to the net and having traffic. This was a power play that I can live with and a power play I look forward to growing together. Good to see all of those players contributing the way that they were. At 12:59 of the first period, UC Soros comes up with a save on Grigorenko after Ekholm stops it 90% of the way. There was too much time, too much space, and if Ekholm doesn't get there, clearly the puck goes into the net. Even with Ekholm getting there and stopping 90% of it, that trickler was still going to make its way in, so UC Soros has to get there and cover that puck up. But this was one of the rare opportunities you saw for Columbus where simply they just had the time to do and pick their spot and whatever they wanted to do there. At 15:28 of the first period, Korpisalo comes up with a save on Sissons' backhand from the circle. Cousins crashing the net hard. Again, another thing we heard about coming into training camp and with this player coming onto the roster was that he was going to go to the dirty areas and he was going to work hard, and he crashed hard right here. Good opportunity. Korpisalo was having a very good first period, so don't underestimate this opportunity. 19:53 of the period, Cousins is going to the box. 2 minutes for interference. I feel this was a weak call. I feel that either player or both players could have gotten either interference or matching minors, or you could have just let it go because both players were battling really hard, going behind the net, going into the corner, and I just didn't feel like it was a very good call overall. We do hit the end of the first period. 7 seconds later, the carryover of 1:53 into the second. The Nashville Predators down by a goal, but out shooting Columbus after 1:13-12. Into the second period, and that power play for Columbus. UC Soros has to come up with multiple saves at the end of that power play. It was Benning strong on the PK shift. Again, another new name, another good penalty kill shift for Benning out there. He was sacrificing the body. He was playing hard, and honestly, he was just staying in position and being frustrating to play against. Coming out of the box at 2:07 in the second period, Cousins gets a breakaway, but it is stopped by Korpisalo. One of those rare opportunities where the timing just works out perfect, but Cousins not able to convert. 3:54, Korpisalo is coming up with another big save, this time on a one-timer from Ryan Ellis. And you know, pound for pound, he has easily one of the hardest shots in the league, and I want to see that shot utilized more often. Good to see that one-timer from Ellis there. 12:01, UC Soros. We haven't heard said We haven't said his name in a while. He makes a save on Grigorenko's one-timer from the slot. Really no danger on this one. Good to see Saros getting a good clean touch on this one. It would only be 46 seconds later, though, before he'd have to come up with a save on Bjorkstrand. There was the first scrum of the season after the whistle, and there was Cousins involved. Again, we were told he would bring sandpaper to the lineup. We were told he'd go to the hard and the dirty areas, and there he is involved in the first Predators scrum of the season, and certainly chirping away. I was enjoying seeing that. 13:09 of the second period. Brand new Nashville Predator. Luke Kunin gets his first goal of the season. Hala chips the puck out of the D zone. Really great play right here. So multiple new Nashville Predators on the roster helping out on this play. Skates in with a two-on-two. Duchesne does a really nice job doing some distracting work right there and allows for the shot to go through clean. 1-1 hockey game at Bridgestone Arena at 14:47. Korpisalo comes up with a save on Josi after a Columbus Blue Jackets turnover in the defensive zone. We hit the 18:55 mark, and Juuse Saros has to come up with a save on Texier, and we hit the end of the second period. The Nashville Predators and the Columbus Blue Jackets tied at one apiece. The Columbus Blue Jackets, though, shots on goal. They have done a great job in this second period, even though there was a large portion of the period where the teams just went back and forth between the circles. The Columbus Blue Jackets were still able to add quantity, not necessarily quality, in the second period. Their total shots on goal now for the game is 27, with the Nashville Predators having 22. Again, tie game going into the third period of the first game of this brand new season for the Nashville Predators. At 1:43 of the third period, there's Korpisalo again working hard out there. Big save off Rocco Grimaldi. Rocco looking good skating hard, as you know he always does. 3:01 of the third period, Korpisalo save on Cole Smith off of Yarncroke feed from the half wall. Cole Smith had about the most limited ice time you'll ever see from an NHL player in this game, but he made himself noticeable on this play, going to the net and receiving a potential pass slash shot from Yarncroke off of the sharp angle. Nice job right there. 5:48 of the third period. Philip Forsberg with his first goal of the season. He retrieves the faceoff off of the Richardson win, and he takes the puck from the D zone and just simply rumbles and bullies his way all the way down the ice, leaving in his wake a host of Columbus Blue Jackets bodies all over the ice, and then beats Korpisalo with the wrist shot we have all come to know and love. Philip Forsberg, the big body power forward drive from his own zone all the way down the ice, picking up the second goal of the game for the Nashville Predators. Something very special to see on this play. That is one hell of an individual effort, and the strength that it comes to carry the puck through that many players that easily, just simply incredible. Scoresburg is back, everybody. 2-1, Nashville Predators midway through the third period. At 10:55 of the third period, Hala drives the net off of the rush, has to be stopped by Korpisalo. Columbus Blue Jackets at this point in time, one shot on goal in 12-plus minutes. The Preds, they are the ones causing that. They are strong on support. Their compete level is high. And frankly, the Nashville Predators have gotten better as this game has gone along. They are playing a really good, focused, detailed game in this third period. 12:03 of the third period. Domi's off the box 2 minutes for a holding. Korpisalo only really has to come up with one big save on Forsberg over the course of 2 minutes, but 2 minutes are now gone off the clock in this one goal game. 15:34, Texier off to the box 2 minutes for slashing. Nothing happening at all, but time is dissolving. 2 more minutes off of the clock. We hit the empty net scenario with 1:50 to go in the game, and immediately the Nashville Predators capitalize, and we all know in the last couple of years, Roman Josi standing behind the goal line with an opportunity throws that puck the full 200 feet and it either goes in or they get one or the first of five icings over the course of the last 2 minutes of the game during the empty net. Instead, Roman Josi moves the puck to Rocco Grimaldi, who skates the puck out and moves the puck to Kelly Yarncroke, who puts the puck into the back of the net. That was precision puck movement. It was perfection, and it's what I want to see every single time you have an opportunity at the empty net. Roman Josi gets the same amount of points he would have gotten if he shot the puck from 200 feet and it went into the net. Yes, I know, an assist is not as glamorous or as glorious as having a goal, but is there any glamour or glory in an empty net goal? At the end of the season, you just hope that they fold into your stat category and be that one that puts you over the top for that extra bonus or that extra number 20 or 25 or something like that. But Roman Josi gets his first assist of the season, and I love the way the Preds moved it out of the zone and put it in. It was just a sign of attention to detail. It was a sign of trying to do things more the right way. I've always had a problem with the empty net thing, as you can obviously tell. You could tell by the broadcast. You could tell by listening to Crispy. You could tell by listening to a lot of people. We're not the only ones here in the trenches that had a problem with the empty net strategy in the Peter Laviolette era. All right, 1943. So that's Cali Yarncroke's first goal of the season from Grimaldi and Josi, of course. 3-1 Nashville Predators. 1943, Uzi Saros' last touch of the game. Save on a long shot. Only his second of the period. The Columbus Blue Jackets would only end up with 3 shots on goal in the third period. I felt that the Nashville Predators played an absolutely outstanding 20 minutes right there, winning this game on home ice and closing the game with 35 shots on goal. 3-1 Nashville Predators with a 1-0 lead. 1-0. Nashville Predators with a 3-1 win over the Columbus Blue Jackets and a 1-0 record on the season. And of course, all of these games are division games, so a big win over the Columbus Blue Jackets, who are projected to be probably in the top 4 of the division. That gets you all caught up on what happened last night. We'll hit Mostradamus and go over the goaltending report and the box score and individual performances. Then Sean Smith, Brian Bass, and all the Renegades in the trenches, filling in the details, bringing you the numbers, the information, the analysis, and bringing the passion that you expect from the Renegades of Puck. Oh, speaking of passion, does anybody do it better than this guy right here?
Now that is how you start a season. You get some of the young blood in and let the new kids score. Another debut goal from a Preds player in gold. How amazing was that game? Yeah, we were a little sloppy at first. Of course we're gonna be. No preseason. You're rushed right in. You gotta have to have a little feeling out period. But we looked good. We looked strong. We bounced back after the goal. We didn't get down. We came back. We fought. We scrapped. There was grit. There was power. There was speed. There was finesse. It was Predator hockey. And let me tell you something. I like the additions on this team, and I think they're going to be a phenomenal asset down the road. But what we need to do now is make sure we don't rest on that victory. We've got Columbus again tomorrow night. And we need to make sure that they go home 0-2 and that we stay 2-0. You do not want to give them any quarter. You do not want to give them any chance. We've got them against the ropes. We need to keep them there. No rope-a-dope from Columbus. We put the knockout punch in. I love what I see. This was a great victory for this team. And we've got nowhere to go but up. Right now, we stand undefeated, 56-0, baby. And what I feel, I feel a little hungry. I want another win. I want to keep the momentum going. I want this team to be on the top, and I want to surprise everybody from the National Hockey League. I am hungry, Preds fans, and I want you to feed me more.
I'm Uzi Saros of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
No better way to start your day than in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck right here on Nashville Sports Radio. Crazy Charlie Sonia here at Nashville Sports Radio Studios in the Woodbine area of Nashville. A fantastic facility that they've built for us here in 10 seasons of partnership. Of course, I've been with Nashville Sports Radio a little bit before that. I was part of Slapshot Radio here on Nashville Sports Radio for a couple of seasons before, spinning off to host Predneck Nation Radio, now 488 shows strong, and appreciate each and every one of you for joining us. And remember, not only listening live, but in an on-demand world, you can have this show any way you want it. SoundCloud.com offers you this show, and WNSR.com can give you the link to that at any point in time. So remember, just because you're not up live with us in the trenches, there's a whole host of reasons why you wouldn't be or couldn't be or probably shouldn't be. We love each and every one of you for jumping up and being live with us, and there are plenty of you out there. That's why we started this thing, because there was a craving to expand the coverage, to bring more coverage, to bring more hours of coverage, more exclusivity to the topic. That's also why we remain disciplined the way we do to the Predators topic. So you can always catch this show on demand. We get it posted usually within an hour of it being live. We condense it just a little bit to make it consumable as quickly as possible, but we give you all of the most important information. Matter of fact, it can easily serve as your alternative pregame show when you're headed down to Bridgestone Arena. You're getting ready to watch one of these Eastern Conference start times or East Coast start times on your way home from work. Just go ahead and pull the show up, listen to it. It is perfect. We bring the fire, we bring the fury, we bring the passion, and we deliver you the same analysis, stats, info that everybody else has access to, but we deliver it in a way that is so much far superior than anybody else can possibly do it out there. Mastrodamus is here with me to talk all things Nashville Predators. Of course, you can find him on Twitter at GreekGoalie35. He'll join me in the second period of Prednik Nation Radio all season long, as he has done for many, many years. Mosh, I'll say very quickly, good morning.
Good morning, Charlie. How are you, sir?
I am fantastic, because last night I got to do something that felt very, very normal. Sit down and watch a Nashville Predators hockey game between the Columbus Blue Jackets, and it was a one-goal game into the third period that ended with an empty netter. Something about it was comfortable. Something about it was oddly familiar, Mastrodamus. And then getting to come on in here and talk to all the Renegades and break it down. I don't know. The last several hours, I feel good. I feel a little bit uplifted. I think hockey is helping my soul. So, what do you say? Let's get into it. Let's talk a little individual performances. You in?
I'm in. Let's do this.
UC Saros gets the start. First time we've seen a Nashville Predators goaltender not named Pekka-Rinne in net. Couldn't believe that trivia question last night was made out to be as difficult as it was, since, of course, Dan Ellis back in the day. Pekka-Rinne gets all of those first game starts over the next many years. UC Saros last night gets the opening night start. We know John Hines was favoring him towards the end of last season. In the postseason, he did not do so well. But in the game last night, Mastrodamus, we open the season with a 29 out of 30 performance. The only goal against was on a breakaway, and I never fault goaltenders on breakaways. I fault the support in front of him when it comes to breakaways. Four shorthanded saves. Edge work looked good. Seemed like his tracking was good, but you are the starting goaltender of Prednik Nation. You give me the analysis and your opinion on UC Saros last night.
He looked zoned in right from the get-go, and of course, much maligned early on in the season, UC Saros over his career. Not a good starter out of the blocks, but, you know, first shift of the game, here comes Seth Jones on a wraparound. He gets the job done, gets his right pad down, moving side to side. Solid from then on out. Of course, the breakaway off the post and off the back crossbar. I mean, you're not going to stop that one. It doesn't matter who you are in there. And Boone Jenner is a solid player, so kudos to him for a good shot on that to beat Saros. But he was fantastic last night. He didn't have to be, you know, he had to save the game, so to speak. He didn't have to play out of his mind or stand on his head to get the job done. The team did a good job for the most part, blocking a lot of shots. They had some turnovers in their own zone where I'm sitting there shaking my head, wondering what are you doing taking chances like that in your own zone. One really critical save, we talk about when you make key saves. Key save was the one-timer from the slot off a turnover in the second period when it was still 1-0. That shot goes in, and there's a rebound right there, too, for a Columbus player if he doesn't snare that with his glove and smother that up. That's a 2-0 game. Maybe we're talking having a different conversation this morning, but solid performance again. Didn't have to be spectacular, but critical save right there to keep the game 1-0, and shortly after that, of course, Luke Kunin gets his first goal.
Forsberg gives Richardson an assist the way I pick them up in the lower C league. A defensive face-off trickler slash win down the ice, leaving Columbus Blue Jackets laying all over the place and then taking his classic wrist shot. First goal of the season. We know consistency is the key and the only thing preventing him from being a 40-goal scorer in this league each and every year. Mastrodamus, big-name players, big-name moment. Philip Forsberg last night, that was a big-time goal. Take us through it.
Cheat code level, really, from Philip Forsberg. I mean, yeah, obviously, you win the faceoff in your own zone. You don't expect anything out of that. And he just takes it and does what he does best, and that's have the puck on a string and moves up the ice. He made Savard look silly and bumps into his own guy, knocks them over. Again, this is like video game worthy the way he did that. Gets by, has a two-on-one with Yarncroke. And as soon as the other defenseman goes down, you know he's taking that shot. He was probably going to take that shot regardless anyway. He wanted that the way he took that out of the defensive zone. And really, beats Korpisalo blocker side. Korpisalo barely moved. I mean, it was a perfect shot. And we talk about it all the time with Forsberg. Sometimes he wants to just take over a game on his own. He does that to a fault sometimes when it's really not his night, and he'll continue to try it. And the last night, of course, was his night. He felt it. He felt strong. It was the only shot of the game, shot on goal of the game, but he knew he wanted to get that puck on net. We saw him on the power play, of course, trying to get that wrist shot from that right circle and put that in. Didn't work out for him, but on this one, I like him so much better on the off wing. You get a better angle on net from the left side when you're a right-handed shot like that, and he proved it right there. Korpisalo, no chance on that goal.
First goal of the season, first game-winning goal of the season, hopefully of many in both categories for Philip Forsberg. Also had two hits in this game, 18-25 in time on ice. Good to see Phil Forsberg looking right in game one of 56 to start the season. Mosh, a lot of new names, a lot of new players on this roster, and the first goal of the season scored by one of them, but combined up with a couple of others. And I want you to take us through the play, because to be honest with you, a really, really quality chip, a quality handle, a quality score, and Matt Duchene also doing a little bit of work distracting there in the middle of the ice, making sure that the shot was going to be cleared. And after all, I'm talking about Kunin and his effort last night, getting the first goal of the season, picking up that chip pass out of the D zone from Halla. Mastrodamas, take us through that first goal of the season for the Nashville Predators, and first goal of the season for a brand new Nashville Predator.
Should have been all three new Nashville Predators getting points on that. I think Borvetsky started the play to deflect the puck. It was loose in front of Saros. He poked it over to Hall, and Hall scoops it out of there. And watching it live, I actually thought that Kuhn had knocked it down with a high stick. But, you know, this isn't a goal situation, so you can knock it down. If it's shoulder level or lower, you can knock it down, no problem. Deft play there, hand-eye coordination, knocking that pass down out of midair, putting it right on his stick, and that leads to a two-on-one. If he bumbles that at all, this scoring chance never even takes place. So great job by him to control that. Goes two-on-one, and of course, the defenseman goes down, makes sure that the pass can't get through, and he beats Korpisalo 7-hole right underneath the armpit there. Again, massive hole there, too. Usually you don't see that big of a hole in that area for a goaltender, but he saw it. He took it. Good for him. Get that first goal. Like what I saw out of him overall, too. He got the goal there. He had another great chance, actually, later in the game as well. Got stopped by Korpisalo on the side of the net. So, like what I saw out of Kunin and Eric Halla also, solid performance for him in his debut.
Overall, good roster management for the forwards in time on ice. 18:53 from Colton Sissons, 18:25 from Philip Forsberg, 17:44 for Victor Arvidsson. Everybody nice and balanced out. Cole Smith only 42 seconds of time on ice, but it'll be remembered fondly, and he was part of a team victory last night, so congratulations to him for being part of the opening night lineup. Mosh, we talked about the goaltender. We talked about the forward grouping. Let's hit the D very quickly, and of course, we're always going to talk about Roman Josi when we had the opportunity. Yes, his assist came on an empty net goal, but I want to discuss that play again because you know you and I have gone round and round about this with many a people and the topic and the empty net goal situation. Love the way they moved the puck up. Love the way Roman Josi made the decision right there to go ahead and take the easy play, make the pass. They skated up. Overall, at the end of the night, Josi ends up with 6 shots on net. 2 hits, 23:25 time on ice, just a few seconds short of leading the team in time on ice over his partner, Ryan Ellis. But the captain looks like he's ready to go again for another season, and with those 6 shots on net, Mosh, Roman Josi off to another good start.
Typical Roman Josi. I'm glad he did not take the shot from behind the net. We and I have just harped on that forever. You know, back in the day when we were watching his kids, if you shot the puck from your own zone and missed the net, it's an icing. It's a selfish play. You don't typically hit the net from that situation, and you get a faceoff in your own zone. You possibly have the game tied, and that's a problem. That's something you have to answer to the coach with. Thing was too is that Columbus pretty much had him hemmed off, pretty well, and perfect angling pass up the ice to Rocker Grimaldi to get that started. Right on his tape, Grimaldi of course cross ice to Yarncroke to get that going. And Yarncroke makes no mistake with that as soon as it crosses the blue line. So more of that, please. None of this, you know, shooting it from your behind your own goal line towards the empty net for no reason. If you're up by two goals, okay, I kind of get that. That's fine, I guess. It's less risk when you're up by two, but beautiful play set up. And again, Yossi, six shots on goal. Ellis, five shots on goal. That's almost a third of your shots coming from your top defensive pair. Maybe, you know, get the forwards involved a little bit more. We can go on and that and not on and on with that in the future as well. But all things said, only one forward didn't have a shot on goal. So overall, they did a pretty good job of balancing everything out and getting shots to the net.
At the end of the night, Mosh, it seemed like a classic Nashville Predators-Columbus Blue Jackets game. It was tight throughout. There was not a lot of space. There wasn't a lot of incredibly high-skill scoring opportunities in this one, and the Preds were able to come back, squeak it out, get the victory on home ice. Things seemed very ordinary with that one, and that felt good for after what we've been through in recent months, if it hasn't been years or I don't even know anymore. All right, Mosh, 1-0 for the Nashville Predators against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And, of course, with the new schedule, two-game sets, they'll face off against the Columbus Blue Jackets again. How do you handle your goaltender deployments? Do we see Pekarinen's first start of the season? And how do you handle your roster going into the second of two games against the Columbus Blue Jackets? Give me your preview.
You should probably go closer to a 50-50 split between Saros and Rinne. There is a day off, so maybe you give Saros another start just to kind of make sure that he gets going. You do have another day off before you have the back-to-back situation with Carolina on Monday and Tuesday. So I wouldn't be surprised if I saw Saros back out there. He was solid. Didn't have to be spectacular, but just did his job. Didn't give up any softies in that either. So probably Saros, I would think, again against Columbus. And split, of course, I wouldn't be surprised to actually see Rinne on the first of back-to-backs, get him started on Monday, go back with Saros on Tuesday to combat that back-to-back situation. Maybe some lineup changes as well. I don't know if Cole Smith will be back in there on Saturday after playing less than 6 minutes. You know, nice to see him out there with everything going on and his family watching, but probably need somebody out there for a 12th forward that's going to play a little bit more than 6 minutes a night. So overall, goal team scenario, that's how I see it.
Mastrodamus, I look forward to breaking it down with you, recapping this one and previewing that next two-game set, as you've already alluded to, against the Carolina Hurricanes, because, of course, you are a man so far ahead in the future. You've told the people everything that's going to happen tonight between the Nashville Predators and the Columbus Blue Jackets. People can find you on Twitter at GreekGoalie35, and you're always up for the interaction, and I always look forward to talking again. Thank you so much, my friend. Appreciate you.
Charlie, anytime. We'll do it again next week.
Mastrodamus right there, and he's right. We will be back covering those games against the Carolina Hurricanes next week. We'll be back in the trenches. Just follow us at Renegades of Puck, and we will get you the information when we will be in the trenches. You never know. It's not even a game day, but we were so pumped. We were so excited. We wanted to jump in. We wanted to break down last night's game. We wanted to get everybody into the flow of the regular season, and also it helps to get some content going after we had been off for so long, and to get me in the habit, the practice, the getting up, the routine, the getting in the trenches, the calling, the Renegades, the doing all of the stuff that we're doing right here on Prednik Nation Radio, Renegades of Puck. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sane. Sean C. Smith of On the Forecheck. He's up next.
I'm Rocco Grimaldi of the Nashville Predators, and you are listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Rocco bringing us back from break strong. You hear how excited he was about that? He's so enthusiastic. He popped every single one of his peas, but I love the energy so much, I decided to keep him. Cleaned it up the best I could, but how can I not use Rocco Grimaldi coming back from break right here on Prednik Nation Radio? You're in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. And with Rocco bringing us back from break, he did have an assist last night in his 15-18 of time on ice. Looked good, represented himself well for the opening game of the season, as well as many new Nashville Predators. Here to talk to me about all things Nashville Predators hockey from On the Forecheck, he is Sean C. Smith. You can find him on Twitter at SCSOTS. That is really, really easy. And I thank him for having such an easy Twitter handle at SCSOTF. You should be following him. He is the man that's left the trenches. He is the man on the scene. He is the man that's putting his eyes directly on all of the things that we're talking about. And his information is invaluable here to each and every one of you Renegades of Puck. So I appreciate you, Sean, for jumping up in the trenches and joining us again this morning. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Charlie. I'm glad to be here, and I'm ready to go.
Man, pumped. Everything about that last night felt good. It just felt normal. And normal is not something I've always been pumped about. You know, normal to me has been kind of boring. But, man, after the things we've been dealing with, feeling normal felt real good. Sean, Let's follow up on a couple of topics we started talking about yesterday. You told me for the Nashville Predators to find success this season, the Jofa line was going to have to return to dominance last night in the first game of the season. First of all, nice to see the Jofa line. We weren't sure if Arvidsson was going to go after having a little bit of a, quote, nick up in practice the other day. He was out there on the ice. By the end of this thing, the Jofa line accounts for one goal, the game-winning goal, 8 shots on net, and I felt at times they were doing exactly what you were hoping they were going to do. What was your thoughts on their first game?
Definitely offensively, I thought they jumped in and they did exactly what they needed to do. And I'll tell you, beyond that, Forsberg, you know, he's always had a sneaky edge to his play. And I felt like at the beginning of camp that this kind of new look for the team was something he was going to lean into really well. And I don't know if you saw, but he laid down some nasty hits last night, paired up with Borowiecki for some Bash Brothers action. And I think this may be the Philip Forsberg heel turn tour that he's been waiting for. I like what I see.
Absolutely loved it, seeing it last night and seeing him take the puck like a true power forward and just go through the Columbus Blue Jackets. Well, frankly, it's inspiring to see, and consistency is the key to Philip Forsberg. He starts doing that on a night-in, night-out basis. The numbers will absolutely be there. Lines 2 through 4 were the second thing that we talked about when we were previewing this Nashville Predators team. Matt Duchene is, of course, still the center of the second line, but other than that, everything looks very different. Sean, a lot of new players in the lineup, a lot of new names. Why don't you take us through what you thought about the rest of the lines?
Okay, the second line, yes, you had Duchene still centering, and you had Halla and Cunnan on the wings. And I think they did a great job offensively, and I saw Duchene playing hard up against the boards, too. I like seeing everybody get in and contributing on both sides of the game, and I thought that was a good look for them. Cunnan getting his goal was incredible, too, because that shows that you can count on that second line for some scoring. The third line was curious to see how Grimaldi was going to fit in with Sissons and Cousins, and named that line the Rococo line yesterday, and I liked what I saw out of them. And I want to see a little more finishing, but I thought Cousins, you know, I think he looks like a huge acquisition. And I've said before that Borowiecki, for example, looks like he was built for the role that he's playing on this team. And I think you could say the exact same thing for Cousins. And there was a point where there was a big scrum in front of the net that he was heavily involved in. And I don't know if you saw this at home, but as he left that scrum, he gave a big Ric Flair woo. And that really set the tone for me that this guy's here to play and make a big difference. Fourth line. Okay, I think you're going to see a lot of shifting in this line for the next few nights. I don't think it's going to be anything set in stone. I really think they're trying to see what works the best. And honestly, while you're still waiting for a couple of players to rejoin the team, especially Mikael Granlund, I think you're going to see a little bit of shifting down in these lines anyway. But that third line, or the fourth line, I think for sure is definitely going to change quite a bit.
Sean, I need to see Trenin in there. I mean, look, that's a nice story, an NHL debut, but Trenin is the player that needs to be out there. He brings the element that adds in with all of the other players. And yes, the Cousins, the snarl, the I love it, the attitude, the chirping, that's the kind of thing I'm living for, and I love to see it. I'm glad he was involved in the first scrum of the season. I look forward to continuing to track all of these storylines as they emerge. Of course, we have a brand new third defensive pair. Benning last night was just out there giving his all. He was sacrificing the body all over the place. Great job on the penalty kill. You've already given a quick mention to Borowiecki. He was good, and Mashopoulos mentioned it. I thought he possibly could have gotten an assist as well on that play. He contributed to the play no matter what the score sheet says. So the third D pair represented themselves really well considering what Preds fans have had to kind of deal with in the last couple of years.
Big time. And I was in the arena. I don't know what everybody could see at home, but if you could see at home half of what I saw in the arena, because there was a lot of stuff that happened away from the puck that really contributed to that overall look of that third pairing out there. But I'm going to tell you, if you could see half of what I saw, you know it's a whole new game out there. At one point toward the end of the game, and this was probably one of my favorite moments, a loose puck went into the corner in the Blue Jacket zone. Benning was in the corner, and one of the Columbus players just backed off. He didn't even go over to challenge him for it. I thought it was great. These guys were on the ice for around 13 minutes apiece last night. And that means that Roman Josi was on the ice five on five for a lot less time. And you might think, well, that's not what we want. But I'm telling you, you want a well-rested Roman Josi for those 20 minutes that he's playing. The fact that these guys can step in and play more minutes, give the top two pairings a little bit more of a chance to rest and be fresh when they come out on the ice is exactly what this team needs.
Shorthanded time on ice for that pair, 145 each, and the penalty kill was really good. That first penalty kill, if that's an example of what we're going to get consistently throughout the season, highly excited about the upgrade from what we've seen in the last year or two. Let's get one more thought in here before we let you go, Sean. Physical play. You mentioned it. You said it was going to be key to this season. Well, I look at this box score, and I see something I really like trending in the right direction. Six players with at least two hits. You mentioned Forsberg with a couple of big hits. It wasn't all over the ice, and it wasn't numerous like it will be in some games, but there was certainly a positive trending direction in the physical game for this Nashville Predators team.
Definitely positive. And I will say, you said it didn't happen all over the ice. And that's one of my concerns here is that we saw so much of this team practicing doing this in the defensive zone. And it really wasn't happening last night. All of this aggressive play was coming on the offensive end. And it really was surprising to me as much as they focused and as much as Hines is focused on doing this back in the defensive end of the ice, that it wasn't happening. I saw Ekholm doing it specifically, but I would look to see that change soon because there's no way Hines is going to let that go unnoticed and unaddressed. So I think moving forward, you'll see that happening on both ends of the ice.
I think I see a lot of players that are going to increase the number of hits. You've already mentioned how the confidence level comes up in a player like Forsberg, in some of the other forwards, when they see more physical guys in the lineup around them, there to help them, there to protect them, and of course, there to contribute. So that's a part of the game I look forward to tracking with you all season long, Sean. I love the physical part of the game, not the dirty stuff, not that kind of crap. I love the good, hard, strong, physical. You know how we sum it up. We sum it up as bringing the jam. I love watching guys bring the jam, and last night I saw potential for a lot of jam on this roster, and I look forward to reading your writings and also tracking your thoughts on all of these topics as we go forward. Sean, I can't wait to talk about this game and also talk about the upcoming series with Carolina Hurricanes next time we get in the trenches. Sean C. Smith, you can find him on the forecheck. You can also find him on Twitter at SCSOTF. A fantastic conversation, a wealth of knowledge and information. The man who's left the trenches and gone right in to the fire. Sean, thank you for bringing us so much information and knowledge today.
Thanks for having me, Charlie.
Man, that dude is bringing it strong. He is inspiring me. He is making this show better immediately. The Renegades of Puck signing some big-time acquisitions in this most recent offseason. Another one of those acquisitions coming up because I'm not a total selfish jerk and I managed to manage to do something. Oh boy, I better get to the break before I screw it all up. I managed to get my minutes down a little bit and take shorter shifts so I could get Brian Baston's one big stat in to close out the show. It's Predneck Nation Radio right here on Nashville Sports Radio. I am your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier. Hey, I faded the commercial down. Why would I do that?
Sports Radio. This action.
I'm Colton Sissons of the Nashville Predators, and you are listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Colton Sissons delivered two hits in the game last night. It's 18:53 and time on ice. Also had a nice scoring chance off of a backhander, and I felt like he was doing work out there. Always like to see Colton Sissons out there on the ice for the Nashville Predators, part of the newly constructed bottom six of this team. Very much looking forward to tracking the amazing storylines coming out. Chauncey Smith doing a great job right there. Mastrodamus in the second period, the ultimate predator, got you all fired up. Me, I'm just your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier, here to facilitate the goal scoring from all over the ice right now. In with me from the Renegades analytics desk, and you guys know the numbers, they're incredibly important. The eyes, yes, they deliver you a certain portion of the information, but the numbers, they can back that up, they can give you evidence, and there's nobody better than doing it than the Renegade of Analytics. He is Brian Baston from On the Forecheck. Of course, you can find him on Twitter at Brian Baston. He is always ready for conversation when it comes to the digital realm, so be careful when you step to him. Brian, good morning. Deliver me your one big stat.
This year, I'm gonna start the season off with my one big stat, with something a little bit simple. And so I just want to talk about the number two. Now, we're only one game into this season, but one of these guys has already stepped up as the one who drives this team, both on offense and defense. And in fact, you guys have already talked about this guy twice already. We'll have to see Philip Forsberg wait to score goal number two on Saturday, but last night that number two was all over his score sheet. He only registered two shots on goal last night, but as you know, there's a lot more to hockey than firing at the net like that. While he was on the ice, the Predators had 16 shots on goal, and the Blue Jackets, on the other hand, well, can you guess how many they had, Charlie?
Tell me.
Just two.
Two?
Just two. Now, again, he did serve. Number two, we don't like to see. He did serve 2 minutes in the penalty box, but the team set up camp, played excellent defense, and they killed the Blue Jackets power play. And, you know, speaking of the Blue Jackets power play, they went 0-for-2. You know, again, those highlight reel goals from Forsberg, that's what we see. We watch. They're on all of the hype videos that you see. And he didn't disappoint last night. But he's got a great physical game, too, because, you know, as you mentioned earlier, when it comes to hits and blocks, he had two of each. So, you know, he's not just that scoring threat, that highlight reel player that we see all the time, but he's a strong defender too, and there is nothing more valuable than having a guy who can do it all. And Philip Forsberg is a great two-way player, so let's watch Forsberg do his thing. Hope he gets goal number two, and we walk away with win number two.
He is Brian Bastin, and his big stat of the day is the number two. Brian, I absolutely am already just in love with this segment, and I don't want to be too forward with this, but will you commit to doing this every show for me? Because I absolutely love the one big stat. I just love it, and the Renegades love it, and we're getting people more introduced to the analytics and the terminology and all of these things. So it's so important to bring it all together in one cauldron right here in the trenches with us. So, Brian, man, I sure do appreciate you this morning. Fantastic first big stat of the season for us, man. Thank you.
No problem.
Brian Bastin right there from On the Forecheck. Check him out on Twitter at Brian Bastin. He'll join us in the trenches with one big stat all season long. That's how we'll wrap this show up. Sean C. Smith was in the trench this morning. He brought you tons of knowledge and information right there from out on the front lines. He is in the fire, man. The man who's left the trenches. Mastrodamus caught you up on everything going on in the box score and the goaltenders. And me, I'm just your simple host and Captain Crazy Charlie Saunier, facilitating the offense from all angles. Show number 488 in the books. Love you, Renegades of Puck. Each and every one of you. Stick, taps, respect, love, all that good stuff. See you in the trenches again soon.